Welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Today I have Hope Brandt with me, who is a registered dietitian. She has been on the podcast many times before, and we are sitting here in person in our Austin studio. Hope is here visiting for the weekend. Thank you for coming, Hope.
It is so awesome. I'm so happy to be here. It is one of those things where it's just so awesome to like see it in person.
Right.
You know,
is the studio
on my screen every day.
Does it look like what you thought it did?
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
No, I mean, it's even better in person. Just includes peaceful zen vibes.
That's our goal. We wanted it to feel like a spa in here.
So. Yeah.
Yay. And it's just so much more fun doing podcasts in person via all of our podcasts have been on Zoom. So
yes.
So much more fun.
Well, it really does make a difference to just like catch the vibes in
yes.
person, you know?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. Well, today I'm really excited about this topic because as a mom to be in a month or so, I'm really thinking about a lot of these things. And by the time y'all hear this episode, I might already be a mom, which is crazy. But, you know, I'm thinking about these things because although our parents did their best, there are some things that I wish they would have modeled differently to mm-hmm. me about food and exercise. And I think it would have changed a lot of my behaviors early on in my early adulthood around food and exercise and really put me in a better place. And so what Hope and I kind of organized for you all today is we each came up with three things about modeling behaviors around food for Hope, since that's her scope is nutrition, and then exercise for me. And we want to say that this is not parenting advice. This is what you should do with your kids, because that is not our expertise by any means. This is more just like, can we think about how we are modeling exercise, how we are talking about our bodies, how we were talking about how we are exercising and eating because our kids are watching.
Yes, absolutely. And the behavior that we demonstrate is going to trickle down to inform their beliefs and their behavior around these things too.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking and words about things are important, but what they see go into action.
Yes.
I feel like is the number one influencer of, you know, how they'll behave around
yes.
these things growing up too.
And how cool if we could create a generation mm-hmm. that had a more positive body image and didn't struggle so much
yes.
around food and exercise like a lot of our generation and those
yep.
older than us do.
Yeah.
So I think it starts with us. And so mm-hmm. that's hopefully what we want to give you all today. I think I'll kick us off because this one is one that's kind of food, kind of exercise. So my first way of modeling a healthy relationship to exercise is to separate food and exercise and not talk about exercise as punishment for what you ate or a reward or like eating because you like went on a long run that day and you're like, I'm earning this.
Yes.
And really just, and even on the same token, like ditching the fitness watch and not thinking about calories burned. Cause I think a lot of times thinking about calories burned is also thinking about calories that are going in.
Right.
And I think that is something that even on Thanksgiving, like I hear from family members, like we should go on a walk to go burn this off.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's my first one is yeah. like, yes, like really looking at your behavior and how you're thinking about exercise and food together. And just exercise can be completely separate from food and should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whether or not you're a parent.
Right. Yes. And provides inherent benefits regardless of how much food you're consuming.
Yes. Yes.
Or not consuming. Like exercise is its own thing and doesn't have to like, and shouldn't be driven by eating habits or
yes.
yeah.
Yes.
You know, totally agree with what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big one and one that, a lot of people, again, because we're so conditioned to think like your workouts need to be like calories in and calories out. I mean, that is a law of thermodynamics,
yeah.
but it's gotten to the point where it's like, I don't deserve food unless I've done this certain amount of movement.
Yes. Yes. Well, I love what you were saying about reframing to never look at being able to earn a certain amount of food or like doing something to earn a treat, or yes, exercising to because you had a treat, or yes, like had a more indulgent meal, modeling that behavior, even though it might not be, even if it's not the words that you're actually speaking, where it's like,
yes,
I had pizza, so now I'm going to do a really intense workout the next day. Even coupling those things together consistently over time is modeling that, you know, if you allow yourself to indulge, then that inherently produces like some sort of punishment that you need to create.
And wait, that's such a good point. Like, it's not always just about the words you're speaking.
Yes.
Like if we go out for ice cream the night before, I notice my mom always comes yeah. back like 3 hours later from her run, uh-huh. really, really sweaty. Like that happens every single time. It's like, mm-hmm. they're looking at how you're behaving, and then yes. they're making those neural associations.
Connections and associations. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk more through points of like the words that you say are also very important.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is about modeling healthful behavior. So mm-hmm. it's about what you're doing
yes.
also
yes.
in addition to the words that you're speaking.
Yeah. Well, I think too, like hopefully y'all are Fit Body Happy Joints listeners and understand that it doesn't really work like that. Like burning off your food just doesn't, it's yes. not really very effective anyway. So changing this behavior is not only good for your children who are watching, but also good for you. So
yes. Well,
and all these things are really,
like you said in the beginning, the root of this is like, you know, modeling these behaviors yourself. And so, yeah, it's not
yes.
like a direct, some of them aren't direct, like teaching moments, but the biggest benefit is being able to have an example to already like set up this healthful, like belief system and association with food
yes.
and exercise.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, what's yours?
You go
yeah,
okay.
you go.
So, this point, and this is, I guess, more about the words that you're speaking, but, not body shaming yourself or other people's bodies. And even further, just kind of refraining from making comments about people's bodies just in general.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know, and as I have a daughter who's 8 months old, and you know, a lot of, even from very, very well-meaning and like sweet people, the first thing is like, oh, you're so cute. And you know, things about how she looks. And I think my daughter is precious, and you know, she'll know that I love her and I love how she looks. And I do think she's adorable, but you know, it's more so about celebrating character over aesthetics.
I love that.
And being able to celebrate who she is as a person and having that be at the forefront of the comments that we're making.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure she will hear from me that she looks pretty and, you know, I think that she's adorable, but
yeah.
Being able to not have those be the first or the most common compliments,
yes,
I think is really important in diminishing the importance of outward appearance and elevating the importance of who you are as a person and your value, you know, inherently,
yes,
regardless of how you look or what your body looks like. I saw this, I don't know the exact source, but I think I've just seen this quote floating around on social media, but saying that your daughter is going to grow up hearing that she looks like you. And so what do you want her to think about that based on what you say about you?
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
Like looking at yourself and you know, I can remember multiple times hearing women that I loved and adored degrade how their bodies looked or
yeah.
say like, oh, I look so, you know, this certain way in this dress, or like, I wish my arms looked different, or I hate this about my body. And it's like, I
yeah.
think you're beautiful and I love you.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I know
being able to to just know that the words that you speak over yourself,
yeah,
is going to be the inner monologue that your daughter might hear when she looks at herself,
yes,
in the mirror.
Yes, exactly. Okay, my second one is how you are expressing excitement or dread around following, like bookending your workout. So are you excited to exercise? And then how do you feel after? And what are you saying about your workouts after? So for example, I am really looking forward to going to spend time on myself today. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards saying like, I feel so much stronger. I love how strong I felt in that workout versus I got to go do this. Like, or else, like kind mm-hmm. of equating it back to food oftentimes.
Yes,
like
yeah.
I ate ice cream last night. I have to go work out today.
Yeah.
And then afterwards saying things like that killed me
yeah.
or like things that are like breaking your body down, that verbiage mm-hmm. that's breaking your body down.
Normalizing the kind of like no pain, no gain
yes.
mentality.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So how you're framing your workout mm-hmm. before and after, and those are more, that's more words, but also I think.
Yeah. But also behavior of being able to show up in a joyful way, in a very, you know, comfortable way to
yeah.
go to your workout and showing that like, it doesn't have to be this super stressful thing that you have to like hype yourself up for. And
yes.
like, you know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You can just like, it can be a seamless part of your day that you can exemplify that you look forward to
yeah.
because it's something that you know is going to make you feel better afterwards
yeah.
versus feeling worse after,
right.
feeling drained or feeling like you got hit by a bus.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like feeling like you got hit by a bus is not normal from
yeah.
your workouts, but we thought that that's what you needed to do
right.
from our parents who were like doing these extreme, you know, mm-hmm. P90X workouts
yes.
where they were like dying, like literally on the floor afterwards, it, like in pain. And
uh-huh.
it's like, that's.
Or, yeah. running miles. I don't know why running has like became the like top tier. I don't know. That's just what I always grew up thinking was like the best workout. Like,
yes.
Going for a long jog.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Coming back super
this.
Sweaty.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, yes, totally. Totally. And I think that goes back to like finding exercise that feels good and doesn't like
yes.
make you feel like if you're dreading, listen, I dread my workout sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. Especially being pregnant. I'm like, I don't want to, I really would rather
oh,
just sit on the couch.
Yes.
And I think like being honest about that too
yes.
is important.
Right. It's not like we're not whistling a happy tune every single time.
Yeah.
Like, there are going to be times where you do things because that's what you do, but it is because you know that you do, like it is bettering you on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think being able to, well, and I know this is like one of your future points
yeah.
too of like modeling gentle consistency.
Well, that's what
like
I was just going to say. This
yeah.
goes like right into my third
yeah.
one, which we'll come
yeah.
back to you. But I think like if every single workout, you know, has to be like grind you into the ground, yeah, you're going to dread every single workout. But if you know every single, like not every single workout needs to be that, you're going to have some workouts that are amazing and like full of like strong lifts and very productive. And you're going to have workouts where you're like, I am on empty right now. Like I don't have much to give.
And we're just showing up.
We're just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
We're pressing play. And I think modeling, that was my third one, is modeling gentle consistency. And I think them seeing you prioritize consistency and routine, but being able to turn the volume up or down, depending on
mm-hmm.
how you're feeling, depending on what's going on in your life. Like, if you're sick, taking a day off, not working out, even if you're sick and you're showing your kids, no matter how you feel, you need to like grind your body into the ground.
Yeah.
Or like if we're on vacation, like teaching your kids, like this is my planned reset week, like taking vacations with you and getting to spend time with you and doing active things with you, but not, I don't need to go to the gym this week because
mm-hmm.
I'm giving my muscles a break, and breaks are really good and productive for my body.
Yes.
So that I can continue to be strong and fit for as long as I possibly can.
Yes.
So I think modeling that gentle consistency and not being so black and white around exercise can be really, really beneficial.
Yes, absolutely. Showing that missing a workout isn't something that you have to like stress and fret about.
Yeah.
And there are going to be normal times where like, hey, it's okay if some of those days come up and it is an unplanned day where you have to miss workout, but B, having those planned breaks already there to where rest is built into the program. Like rest
yes.
is productive.
Oh, I think that's a good way mm-hmm. to put it. Because I think what a lot of people may hear our content and think that we're saying like, just take it easy.
Yeah, no.
And we're not necessarily saying that, right? Like it's right. like working, there's, we want to also model to our kids that we do need to be consistent with our healthy yes. habits. And that is important. But if
right, gentle doesn't negate the consistency.
Right.
Part.
Exactly. Yeah, like, exactly.
They're equally as important.
Yes. Yes. And they might kind of sound like dichotomous. Like they yeah. might sound like opposites. But putting them together, I think, can be really powerful for kids yeah. because then it's like, then they don't like panic if they mm-hmm. miss a workout or if they,
yes.
or if their bodies change or if they're sick and they can't, you know, they need to take time mm-hmm. off or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, it's this dismantling of the all or nothing mindset that can come with both exercise and nutrition.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, it's like we're doing this 30-day reset or we're doing this 75-day
yes.
workout twice a day program.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, by the end of that, it's like we're so burnt out that like there's no way we could continue yeah. this even if we wanted to.
Yes.
Or we reach the end and then it's just like, okay, back to what
finish
I was doing
line.
Before.
Let me go binge
yeah,
because I'm like
yes.
starving and my body
yes.
needs.
And so it's just modeling this kind of yo-yo behavior
yeah.
around both of these, around nutrition and exercise,
yeah.
which is detrimental long-term.
But it's what fitness consumerism has mm-hmm. taught us to do is like these 30-day challenges
yeah.
or
yeah.
these like very restrictive habits that are like, okay, you only have to do this for 75 days. You can do it for 75 days.
Yeah.
Then once the 75 days are over, you can like go back to what you were doing before
yeah.
or whatever. And yeah, that doesn't really model the consistency for kids. And it really models more like extreme behaviors that have the underlying tone of like, I'm not good enough as I am. I
mm-hmm.
need to like change.
Yes. Something. And how can I get results as quickly as possible?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean, that's just not the move. Like,
no.
It's not going to work long term. So being able to model this balance of it's not all or nothing. There's
yeah.
so much space in between there to find a balance that is truly sustainable for you in nutrition and exercise
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we're walking this balance of including enough structure to produce positive outcomes, but including enough gentle rest or when it comes to nutrition, including enough fun, enjoyment, satisfactory, indulgent foods where it's not feeling restrictive and
yes.
it truly is setting you up for long-term sustainability.
We were having a conversation before we got on air. I wish we would have recorded it. It was so good because it was about this. It was like, there is nothing wrong with structure. In fact, having mm-hmm. structure and having a routine can really help with the whole decision fatigue behind exercise and food
yes.
at all and help keep it consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think again, like with the whole movement of like intuitive eating and like intuitive movement and things like that,
mm-hmm.
it's like, yes, it would be great if we could move intuitively, but also we do need to have the fact is we do need to have some hard work in there to build
yeah.
muscle.
Well, yeah. And a certain amount of structure, it, and I talk about this with clients all the time is that it actually does set you up for more freedom
mm-hmm.
in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a set structure for you that you can rely on, that does like release you from the decision fatigue and like hopping from thing to thing that you are truly comfortable in that becomes more second nature to you, that frees you up to then include indulgences when they're worth it
yes.
to you without wondering, is this the thing that's going to like make or break me?
Yes.
Because you know it's not. You have the structure and the baseline habits there to ground you. And then when you're feeling, okay, maybe I'm walking a little bit too close to the line of like overindulgence, you know what it feels like to come back to that structure that you know makes you feel your
yes.
best. And
yes.
then when you're feeling like, okay, I'm feeling like things are getting a little rigid, then you know how to push, you know, just slightly over to the other side where it's like, how can I incorporate more indulgence? How can I bring a little bit more enjoyment to what I'm eating? Or, you know, for exercise, okay, I'm feeling a little run down. How can I incorporate a little more gentle movement or rest?
Yes.
And knowing that you're allowed to make those adjustments
yeah.
in your program, but
yes.
the structure does have to be there.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people that are more black and white type A thinkers, mm-hmm. this is really difficult.
Yes.
For them to have that more gray space and play in that gray space.
Yeah.
But that's where it's like, maybe it's worth, if you're struggling with like the all or nothing, like mm-hmm. maybe like getting with someone one-on-one, I think could be really beneficial mm-hmm. for both you and modeling behaviors for
yes
kids.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and especially for nutrition, it is shown time and time again that restrictive behaviors don't have the outcomes that I think the intent behind them is hoping for, you know, where it's like, I want my children to be healthier and have healthy habits. But really restricting like fun foods or more processed foods, a lot of times it just backfires and it ends up creating more dysregulation around yeah. those foods when they are exposed to them.
Yes.
So again, it's a balance of being able to, and again, you can show this, you model this in your own diet.
It comes from us first,
yes,
right?
Like it, of being yeah. able to show the structure of, you know, mostly produce and good sources of protein and complex carbohydrates and healthy fats and having all of those things be the backbone of your diet, mm-hmm. but also knowing that, you know, we can have chips with lunch. We can like bake cookies on a random Tuesday and like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. But I think it's so hard for a lot of parents, myself included, because I grew up in a household where if we had any snacks around, they were gone immediately.
Oh,
like
yes,
they were
yes.
gone immediately.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really have much around that often. And mm-hmm. so I know that I have work to do around like, and it's just my husband and I, and we eat pretty well. Yep. So we don't usually get like kid food and snacks and things right. like that, but we will once we have kids. And mm-hmm. I would like to be able to have treats in the house
yeah.
and be able to be like, yeah, that I, you know, the bag of Oreos is in the pantry and
yeah.
we don't have to eat the whole thing. You
no,
know,
it's and like sometimes we have a couple after dinner and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be this big thing where, you know, you're thinking, if I have an Oreo, I've ruined my diet.
Yeah,
like, no,
I know.
That's not how it works.
I know. But I think it's easier yeah. said than done for a lot of people because of the deep, deep wiring that
yes.
comes with this. And
yeah.
yeah, I know it's something that I will for sure have to work on
it's something
when the time
that
comes.
I'm working on. This
yeah.
is by no means,
yeah.
you know, saying that I am like going to be a perfect example for my daughter. That's impossible.
Yeah.
And I'm no, like, I'm not even trying to put those like standards
no.
on myself, but I think being, you know, just bringing awareness to it and truly putting effort into it is absolutely a worthwhile
same.
Endeavor
yeah. for yourself and for your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was your second one? We skipped past you.
Okay. So this is my second one is not using moral language to describe food. So putting mm-hmm. a moral value on food, like this food is good, this food is bad. And I know this can sound, really dumb if we're not, if, you know, we're just thinking about nutrition as, you know, like some foods provide a lot of nutritional value and are pretty much inherently good for you, right? And
yeah.
some foods don't provide as much nutritional value. So it's very easy if you're kind of just thinking about it as black and white to label foods good, you know, like an apple is good for you,
mm-hmm.
a cookie is bad for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But what that really does is place moral value into that food where it's you're creating this perception of I am good if I eat an apple
mm.
and I am bad if I eat a cookie.
And like so, I'm doing a bad thing.
Yes, I'm doing a bad thing. So then that translates to
me being bad.
Having whatever food it is. So I think it's totally appropriate to model and even, you know, have conversations about what food can do for your body, why we eat certain foods, you know, why certain foods, what vitamins they provide and like why it's important, but just not using the blanket statement of good and bad, because of a lot of times, actually all the time, it really comes down to the context that food is in your overall dietary pattern.
Right.
And there's so much wiggle room for inclusivity based on the context and the frequency mm-hmm. of the inclusion of those foods. So it's kind of like we were talking about with not modeling super restrictive behavior around food and modeling inclusivity with different fun foods and foods that are enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Modeling, being able to model that and showing that the food you eat does not impact your morality. You're not a
right.
better person if you eat an apple versus eating a cookie.
Right. Right. Cause then your kids might go to their friend's house mm-hmm. and they're having pizza for dinner and
like, oh, this is a bad food.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This is bad for you.
Yeah, the parents are like, great, cool.
Right. So the language you use, it truly does matter. And, you know, it does matter in how you're modeling perceptions of other people who eat differently than you. And, you know, it's your job to focus on you and your plate and not what anybody else is doing.
Well, that might like help people decrease their sense of guilt around eating mm-hmm. quote unquote bad foods. Mm-hmm. Like if they don't, from a young age, if you don't necessarily think of it as like bad, mm-hmm. and then when you inevitably eat it later in life, you're not feeling this like guilt around having
guilt. And then kind of the inherent restrictive mindset that mm-hmm. comes around these things where it's like, if you believe, you know, that this food is bad for you, then it becomes this thing that is restricted that you like quote unquote can't have. Mm-hmm. And then either when you do have it, you go into this like guilt shame spiral, or it is on such a pedestal that there's absolutely zero self-control around it at all.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So then how do you model that around your kids? You just like, because you want to teach them, obviously, mm-hmm. and again, I don't want to give parenting advice,
right,
but you want to teach them like the nutritional value in certain foods and things mm-hmm. like that. So what's a better way to frame like a cookie versus an apple?
I think, again, just being able to model inclusivity in your diet and
like you are eating
like
the cookie.
You are like, sitting down and you're having a cookie with dinner too.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I've had my cookie. Now, we're done with cookies now. You know, we might have some tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or, you know, for a snack later or whatever it is.
It's like, and the mom's not eating. Everybody's eating like steak and potatoes and mom is having like a small salad.
Exactly.
Everyone's getting dessert and mom's not having a bite.
Right. Mom, you're there and you are participating in the meal. You're, you know, and the structure of the meal can be something, and it should be something that everyone can participate in, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. I talk about the structure of like PEC plates all the time, protein, energy, and color, and having that be a basic structure and then including fun foods and satisfactory items within that basic structure.
Yes.
You know, again, it's about having them in a context that promotes inclusivity and doesn't model restriction around those things.
Yes. With how you're eating mm-hmm. and how you are including them in your own diet.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. Okay. And then what's your third one?
Okay. Oh, We like this one. Not using food as a primary reward or a primary coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. So, and again, this is goes back to how you model coping with a stressful day, you know, mm-hmm. and goes into the language that you use around food. Not coming home saying like, oh, you know, mom's had a very stressful day. I need a brownie or I need a glass of wine or, you know, you need some sort of food or beverage to cope with what has happened at work that day or whatever it is. Or, you know, not modeling this kind of like treat and reward system around food where it's like, I've done my workout and now I get a treat.
Right.
Or, you know, I did something brave and now I get a treat in the form of, you know, a cupcake or whatever it is.
Yes. Right. Right. And I think that is one thing that I'm again going to struggle with because I was raised where any emotion, good or bad, was rewarded with food. So it was like, we're celebrating something, ice cream.
Mm, yep.
You're sad. So-and-so bullied you at school, ice cream.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you bored? Ice cream. It's like it's every single emotion was dessert. And it's that's something that like, again, I definitely have work to do around this and I'm inspired by this conversation to do that work for myself. But yeah, it's one of those that's going to be hard to break.
Well, yeah. And it doesn't, like it does hold some validity. Like comfort food is a very, very real thing. And that can absolutely be a tool in the toolbox. And I think a lot of people grew up with the implementation of this tool being the primary form of reward or coping. And so I think that's where things can come a little unhinged if that this is the only.
That's a really good way to put it. Like it doesn't have to, like it can be something that you still do. Like we go out for ice cream to celebrate or we have a glass of wine to celebrate or whatever, but what are the other things you're also giving equal airtime to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to the inclusivity conversation of treats, like you don't have to have some like special or like traumatic event happen to you to have a treat. Like,
you don't have to earn it.
You don't ever have to earn it. It's just, it can be a part of your diet.
It's really, I think a lot of the themes that we're talking about here is really neutralizing food.
Yes.
And exercise too. Like it's not a measure of your moral worth.
Absolutely.
Whether or not you exercise super hard or whether or not you eat perfectly clean or whether or not you have the dessert, it's more about the consistent habits that you can put into place that are going to be overall good for your health.
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. It's not overextending what food and exercise can do to you or for you, but it's not diminishing the very real results that can come from some structure around those things too.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Cause I think it can be woo woo, like just eat whatever and move however feels good. It's like, well, we could all afford some structure,
but
oh gosh. It's that gray area.
Make you a good person to do all these things perfectly.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Mm. Well, I loved this conversation. I think that, I hope that our listeners are also feeling inspired. Again, Hope and I are by no means perfect at this. And I'm like, I have a long way to go. Okay, cool. I'm going to work on these certain things, which I think is really, hopefully you all feel inspired as well. And
Exactly. And these are, you nailed it. These are just things that I'm trying my best to bring my awareness to.
Yes.
In order to model behavior that I hope can just set my children up to maybe just be a little bit more grounded around these things than I was and maybe not have to dismantle and relearn as much as I feel like I've had.
Yes. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Same. I could not agree more. Hope, thank you for being here. And
I've
listeners,
loved it.
Thank you so much for listening. Everyone, we'll see y'all next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.